I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. To get $3 off any new subscription, go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the promo code Filthy Casuals.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. You've got Adam Knox sitting over here.
Here I am. Proof is in the pudding.
And the pudding is in your tummy.
Exactly. I call my voice pudding because most of what comes out of me is pudding in one form or another.
Well, I'm about to pull my pud over this third co-host,
wow.
Ben Vanell.
What an aggressive way to start the show.
Yeah, I'm jerking off as I introduce him because I love the sound of his voice. It's Ben Vanell.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tommy.
How does that make you feel, being objectified on your own podcast?
Good.
Cool.
Good. I don't know why people complain about it.
Speaking of hot pieces of ass, we have a guest on the show today. Now this is a booking arrangement that was made at 1:30 a.m. this morning. I woke up to a message from the two of you in the group chat going, "This guy wants in. What do you reckon about having him on?" And to be honest, I've made many plans like this in my time in a drunken stupor, and they've never panned out. So I'm delighted and surprised to welcome into the podcast Peter Jones.
Hey.
Did you have any regrets when you woke up about
No, well, I wasn't drunk last night.
Oh, really?
None of us were drunk. We were, yeah.
I don't think anybody was drunk. I think it just happened to be 1 a.m.
The fact that you just assume that by 1:30 there's no way that a person can't be wasted.
No, there's no way you would book Peter Jones for a podcast without being
That's
off your dial.
It's just like, these idiots must be off their face.
Now, Pete, you're a listener of the show. Is that correct?
No, that is incorrect.
Oh, it's incorrect. No, your girlfriend listens.
Get the fuck out of here then.
Your girlfriend listens to the show.
Yes, my girlfriend listens to the show.
So you're constantly walking past the kitchen and hearing these?
I have actually, yeah, I've walked past the kitchen. I'm like, why can I hear Knox? Oh, he's banging on about computer games.
It's a really great cover we have for our affair. I'm hanging with my knuckles white outside of the kitchen window, just shaking, my arms shake. I fall every time, but luckily I fall on my puddings that are in my back pocket that I keep there all the time.
Oh, I get it, because you're always eating pudding.
Yeah, that's my thing.
You're sneaking in the kitchens, stealing pudding, and then leaving out of
I'm
windows.
A little pudding goblin.
Well, it's your girlfriend's fault for leaving that pie cooling on the windowsill.
It's everyone's fault for leaving all of those pies on all of those windows.
She does literally listen to us in the kitchen, we should point out as well.
Yeah.
You've told us that story before. Tommy just didn't pick a random room where he's like, girlfriend, kitchen.
Yeah,
obviously.
That does make me look pretty bad, doesn't it?
I also did
SJWs are going to have a bloody field day with this episode.
They're big listeners to video game podcasts.
Now, we should address this early on. The comedy festival has begun, and as a result, really the only time we can record these is like five days in advance of the show coming out.
Yeah.
Which, for even when we record, you know, mere hours before the show going up and have frequently been left with our pants around our ankles by some late-breaking video games news, I mean, this could be chaos. We are leaving ourselves wide open to some huge story breaking early in the week.
Yeah.
And us, you know, and people listening and going, why are they not talking about this? Why are they not addressing this? So we're just going to have to lean into it.
Right.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool that they announced Red Dead Redemption 3. I'm interested to see how the second one is, but they're obviously confident in it enough that there's a third one coming out.
Yeah. Microsoft completely folding was a big one I didn't see coming, but has happened.
Nintendo already announcing the follow-up to the Switch. Wow, they've given up on this pretty early, even by their standards.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
There's been a large attack. I really worried about saying that because, like, maybe
I hope
will
all
be.
Your friends and family are safe in X country.
Make sure to check in on Facebook so that everybody knows. Even
pick a country. Which country do you think will be attacked in the next 4 days?
Whenever there is that thing, because you know how on Facebook you can like mark yourself as safe. Only people I've ever seen mark themselves as safe are people who are miles away. It's really, really weird. Like, I know you're not in Lisbon.
Mm.
I don't think there's ever been anything in Lisbon.
There's never been anything in Lisbon.
Move away from this topic.
No. What?
So, Pete, what I know about you with video games is that you're not someone who... I always forget that you play games.
Yes.
Because you're not someone that's like... You're not sharing articles about games on Facebook. You're not posting a photo of a box of Uncharted 4 and going, oh, see you later, girlfriend and workmates. I'm off into the fucking treasure hunting jungle. What you'll do is in our group chat, every now and then you'll just pop up and go, oh, hey, I just finished Far Cry 4. Anyway, is anyone doing a gig tonight?
I feel like all of my game updates, they're always 4 years behind.
Yes, yes.
Because I only have a PlayStation 3 and my favourite thing is I love a bargain bin.
Yeah, great.
Because all these awesome games that are still awesome are now $12.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, cool. People should have been talking about Bioshock Infinite years ago. This is good.
If you can just reel that back into 4 days behind, you'll be perfect for the podcast.
Yeah.
You're so ready to have children, I reckon. That's completely. The key component of being a dad is being a real tight ass, don't you think?
Yeah,
an eye for a bargain. That's what you need to. That's when you know you're ready for kids.
And just slowly slipping further and further behind, like current day.
Yeah.
I remember a time like when I used to be like, oh yeah, in high school, it's like I knew exactly what the latest game was. I bought it right when it came out.
Mm.
But that slowly slipped back.
Yeah.
I had a Wii for a while and it just slipped away.
Yeah,
and then it's just like, oh, now I don't even know.
So what? Talk us through the last few things that you've played, because you seem like you just get into one thing at a time and kind of see it through to completion.
I played Far Cry 4.
Mm.
I've played all of the Far Cry. I love a bit of Far Cry.
Yeah.
You've played all of them?
Except for the first one. I played 2, 3, 4.
Well, right. Which is your favourite out of them?
3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. I love 4, though. I love the setting of 4. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, 4 is really good. How does the PS3 version go? Like,
look, it's having only played the PS, like I don't want to play a PS4 version. Just I'm like, oh, you can see the full mountain. It's just like, oh, I'm hang gliding into a blur.
The weather's a bit better. Less fog in this one.
Yeah. It's a very foggy mountain. Mm-hmm. It is still good. Like that's why I think I like 3, because I think 3 looks better on the PlayStation.
Because it was 3 made originally. Can you get 3 on the PS4? Was it?
I don't think you can. I don't think there's been any like upgrade version.
Oh, there's all the only thing is there's a 4 and Primal collection.
Yeah.
So I don't think 3 is on at all.
And 4 was definitely really similar to 3
mm.
In the way of and everything. So that made it just a little more like, oh, okay, it's still good, but this is the same thing again.
Mm.
But yeah, 3 was great at the time.
I've got to go in on this franchise. So you reckon 3 and 4 are similar enough that you're saying 3 is better? But is that maybe because 4 was similar and 3 was your first experience with it?
Yeah.
So if I play 4 for the first time, I'll kind of get what you got out of 3?
Like maybe, but I think 3 also had like kind of a better attitude, if that makes sense.
It's got a better world.
It was a gnarly attitude.
So like one eyebrow down and the other one way up and staring into the camera. Welcome to Shark Tale.
Well, the weird thing about Far Cry 3 was
is there is sharks in it.
There are sharks. Will Smith plays every one of them. But you had like, it seemed to, for the first like 3/4 of it, it was leaning into this like mockery of like bro-y kind of culture.
Mm. Okay.
And then the last bit of it, that falls apart for some reason.
Totally.
And it becomes just that.
Is this 3?
Yeah, 3. Okay. So 3 has you like burning fields of marijuana that criminals are growing and like fucking Skrillex is playing underneath.
Oh, yeah. Wow,
but
okay.
It's doing it deliberately kind of as a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's that sort of shit that works really well for like 75% of that game. And then at the end it kind of falls apart and it actually turns into like this weird shitty thing.
So Skrillex is playing, but unironically.
kind of. I don't know what flips. I don't know what switch.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the movie Adaptation. Okay, so what happens is like
Skrillex plays.
They burn some marijuana. I think they call it blazing. no, but there's a guy who's like a dumb screenwriter. Yeah. And throughout the movie, his smart brother screenwriter is trying to write a movie. And his dumb brother's giving him all these shitty ideas. And in the end of the movie that you're watching, all those shitty ideas come into play. And that's how the movie wraps up.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of like Far Cry 3 was like, yeah, look at these idiots. Like these dumb, like American, like naive, yeah, like horrible people who are just like doing that like cultural tourism thing.
Yeah.
And they all get captured and your like mission is to save them. And you're like a dumb douchey guy as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, for like three quarters of the game is making a mockery of you. And by yeah, the end, the irony just goes away.
Completely, yeah. And like it leans it's even into it. Like somehow making a mockery of that like white guy saves the natives trope.
Yes. Yeah.
And then by the end, the white guy saves the native. Yes. Like it's yeah, really, really weird.
Yeah. And it is hard to tell. Like you give, I think I give him credit because all of that stuff was done so well up until that point. You gotta I kind of think like, well, they've done this on purpose.
Yeah, that surely yeah, that must be it, right? If the rest of it is so kind of like self-aware, nuanced and good, mm, they're not just going to forget for the last quarter.
Honestly,
yeah,
seems like the last
nuanced
part
is a bit strong.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's nothing yeah, about
as soon as I said nuanced, and I pictured in my head someone burning a marijuana yeah, crop while Skrillex is playing. I was no, like, oh, I picked the wrong word.
It's yeah, a subtle flamethrower. It's a really... yeah, it, but the Far Cry games are still good. But Tommy, you've only played Primal for a bit,
yeah,
right?
That's I've only played 10 minutes of Primal. Yeah.
Which Primal seems... Primal's the one I haven't played, actually.
Primal's the, yeah, caveman. But it yeah, seems like it's pretty out of line with the rest. Because isn't yeah, the rest of them all about, like, big guns and, like, all that kind
helicopters
of... helicopters
and shit.
Like, super yeah, stripped away. Like.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah,
the best shooter. I think the Far Cry series are the best shooters.
They right, definitely had a big, especially 3, a big influence on the way that shooters kind of started to go mm, for a while after that.
It's mm-hmm, like... flat out fun, like yeah, yeah, just yeah, like the open world. Because I kind of hate missions a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do the missions for a while. It's like, oh, do you want to go and hunt some tigers? Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to go off and shoot a rhino for a little bit, just wander away.
Yeah, and it has
to light a forest on fire.
It introduced, or maybe it didn't introduce, but it kind of like it perfected, I think, the kind of like collecting enough stuff to create another like a bigger pack, so the
yeah,
bigger pack
yeah, yeah,
can fit more, and
yeah,
and that process was hunting animals and yeah, collecting skins, and even that was fun. Like
yeah,
that
definitely,
aspect of it was fun
and
as
it
well.
And it did that like Assassin's Creed, like climb a tower, get these objectives.
Yes. Yeah.
But it did it the best that any game of that sort of era did it.
Yeah.
I feel like. And that's gotten a little tired now, and now like Zelda's kind of redone that idea.
Oh, Zelda. Yeah. What do you guys think of Zelda?
apparently people are sick of us talking about it.
Fair enough.
No, it's yeah, like, you know, when somebody keeps talking about their fucking like great wife or something, you know, and at some point you go like,
who do you know? Who do you know who does that? Who's like, someone's a group of people are all talking about how good the footy was last night, and then everyone's like, this one guy's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, let me just interject here to remind you all how fucking great my wife is.
I spend a lot of time
the
with
the pudding she makes.
George Clooney and I hang out a lot. He's okay, always on about him. But you know what I mean. Like when someone's talking about something they're enjoying.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a wife.
You get bored of it. Imagine having a wife in a house.
It's hard not to because like you play it for another hour and you find some new weird thing and it's like,
yeah,
oh, cool, something new to talk about. But also, yeah, it has been like yeah, a month now, pretty much a month.
Yeah. Has yeah, it been? Yeah.
Yeah, fuck, I guess so. Yeah,
yeah.
It will be by the time this is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still playing?
Yeah, I played a bit last night. They yeah, patched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
apparently
yeah,
it runs better now in the villages and shit.
Yeah, mm, they fixed the frame rate issues up.
Yeah.
But I saw someone tweet about this. What a, like, you know, like generally when a game gets patched or like an app is updated, they'll have, here's what's new in this version. And mm, it's like
yeah,
a fucking laundry yeah, list of every single little thing they've done.
Yeah.
The very Japanese Nintendo approach. It's literally one note that just says, a more overall pleasant gaming experience.
Great.
those tricky little buggers in there. Right?
Apparently the Wii U version doesn't have the same level of fix to the frame rate stuff.
Oh, right.
I was reading before.
I guess there's just a hardware limitation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah. And also, why would they bother?
Yeah, fuck.
And also, who's still like playing the Wii U?
Bloody people. Oh, all right, PS3 Pete.
Like, PS3.
Yeah, and that's why it's a burn.
Yeah, anyway, enjoy Zelda in 7 years.
So
I will. It'll still be good.
Fuck.
Is there an announcement? Have they said anything about a Far Cry 5? Is that something that you'd assume
so,
is coming?
Oh, you'd assume it's coming.
Yeah.
Would famous, imagine, though, that maybe because like Ubisoft took that year off with Assassin's Creed, which is so unlike them.
Yeah.
And I think Primal didn't do as well as they thought. Then
yeah,
this might be like a bit of a give it a breather.
Yeah, yeah.
But Primal was before Four, wasn't it?
It was after Four.
It was after Four.
Primal was like a year and a middle bit of last after year. Four as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was the thing. It was surprisingly quick. It just, like, I think Three was like, oh, they've developed this new kind of whole thing. Four was a like an iterative improvement. Yeah. Primal was just the same as Four. And then I assume they're going to go away and like just fully revamp Five.
Well, like Primal, if there's not a Five at E3 this year, then it will be at least another year. There will definitely be one at some point. But
Primal seemed like a disappointment for people who were fans of it. And it still seems weird, that weird kind of like calling it Far Cry just is a pure cash grab move. A purely financial decision, which I still think that game could have been great if it had just had a different, if it hadn't been tethered to that franchise and it had had a bit more room to breathe by itself. Like as we were saying when we reviewed Horizon Zero Dawn, for me that had all the stuff in it that all the stuff that Far Cry Primal was lacking, like was kind of in that. Like it was just, it felt like a, it kind of felt like demo-y. It felt like a beginning of something.
Totally. That, I think with Primal as well, they originally intended it to be like, I think it was called Blood Dragon, the follow-up thing to Three.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the
80s kind of movie thing.
Yep.
And I think they intended it to be that equivalent for Four, and then it kind of ballooned out.
Oh, right. And they had to charge more for it, so people expected more of it.
I feel like
it.
Someone was just fucking around, being like, I made a mammoth. Like, what are you doing? For another game. Let's do a game. What if it's just a saber
sword? Some guy who didn't know that mammoths were extinct. Look, I made all these mammoths and saber tooths. Why? They don't... I knew that. I knew that.
Yeah. They'd be in Tibet. Mammoth in Tibet, yeah?
What other franchises are you a fan of? Have you got anything on the go at the moment?
At the moment, I've just been playing NHL 2013.
Oh, boy.
EA Sports. I took the Montreal to the Stanley Cup and we won, baby.
Very well done, Pete.
2013 is our year.
Which is, that's where I'm still at. It's 2013. But I did just play, also finished Last of Us recently.
Oh, great.
As well,
oh, yeah.
Which is, phenomenal.
Yep. Real great.
Someone should have been talking about that game at the time.
What would it take for you to upgrade and go current gen? What would need to come out to make you go, all right, I'm going in?
I'm already thinking about it. So I'm already, I think Red Dead 2 comes out before Last of Us 2,
Red Dead 2.
Is Red Dead 2...
This
Red
year.
Dead 2
is it this year?
Be this year.
Yeah, right.
It'll be Red Dead.
There's 2. A huge chance it'll be delayed, in my opinion. Red Dead to next year, but that would be a sick one to go in on.
Oh,
so you played the first one?
Yeah, played the first Red Dead. And love a bit. I tried to go back on Grand Theft Auto 5 and it was a mission. I was like, oh, yeah, because it's obviously sick, but it was a mission where you're just mowing down cops. And I was just like from a sniper position, I was just this is so grim. Just get me back in the Wild West or put me on an island because I can't handle it. Like, I just can't handle it. I'm like,
it's okay if they're Tibet cops. I can't get it, man.
It was, I remember it grating me. We've talked about this heaps on the show. It grated me even when I played it, but it just ages so bad. The quote-unquote humour in that game, Facebook stuff and the news channels, it's bad. It's really bad.
So off.
It's all first draft shit, you know? Like, we'll call it Life Invader. Like, not that, but something like that. And then everything is like, we'll give the runway, like, put 69 on there. That is funny, though. That's genuinely funny.
Oh, that's always going to be funny. 69, thanks, 69, thanks, 69 man.
That's
funny,
the only
thanks, man.
That's
thanks.
The only good joke.
I feel like, though, GTA 5 is very front-loaded with that shit. Like, once you get further in the game, it kind of goes away. I guess the story gets a bit more serious as well.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the thing. That's what's weird about it. Like, all that stuff is so strong that it just, I don't know, it makes the rest of it more glaring. Like, the son character, I know he's meant to be annoying, but he sucks.
And imagine if, like, you're right, like, it's a really good, fun, good-looking action thing.
Mm.
And imagine if, like, Mad Max Fury Road had, like, every 20 seconds one of them went, I'm going to make this idiot suck my dick! While they're driving around.
Yeah, that's the director's cut of that movie. It's actually really good.
Get a load of them titties.
Yeah, because all the stuff about like Life Hacker, like the social media app, and it doesn't really feed into the story in any interesting way. It's not like if that was the story, it was like, oh, they're head of this big you know, tech company that you've got to bring down or whatever, then, you know, maybe it would be justified. But it's just, there's just that mission where you go in there and it's like, hey,
blow up that dude's head.
Pretty clever, right? We fucking, we made it like Facebook. It's like, just get rid of that stuff. Yeah. It's so boring.
These people are on beanbags.
Yeah.
Has anybody else noticed that that's a thing that tech people do, have beanbags?
I'm even thinking of the idea of somebody playing that and laughing. Like,
Having the controller down.
Oh, shit. Oh, how deprived.
That guy's wearing thongs. He's at work.
Oh, he's done such a shit.
How deprived of actual comedy do you have to have been?
Oh, completely.
To find that, like, a genuinely, like, that be the funniest thing
this
that you've
seen. This guy's got a bong in his room.
But then, to be fair, I think it's like the perfect audit. Like the bit where he comes home and his wife's like with the yoga instructor. Mm.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah. And then just like beating the shit out of random people. It would be the person that finds that funny.
Yeah.
Like, and now I just belted this child.
Yeah. Well, that being said, I watched my housemate play it for half an hour last night and try to work out if there was a way that he could eat someone's ass. And it was very amusing. So like, I'm no better than the people I'm criticizing.
That is the classic version. This is the oldest game, but Police Quest, the original Police Quest.
Oh God, yeah.
Like early 90s, you could just, because you type in the command.
You had your kids for 23 years?
And you could just walk around, and if you typed in drop pants, you just strip naked. Because there was a bit where you had to go into the shower and get changed and have a shower, but you could do it anywhere in the game. You'd be like standing in the street, drop pants, naked, game would end, you'd die.
That's the perfect. Wait, you'd die.
Like, man, the game would just end.
If my pants came off in the middle of like a police mission, I would die as well.
Because you'd get fired. They'd be like, you've been fired because this is inappropriate.
Fuck.
Walk into the office, drop pants. Inappropriate, you've been fired from the police.
That's the perfect summation of GTA. It's like, drop pants, shoot gun. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. That's kind of life in a way.
Oh, baby.
Drop pants, shoot gun.
So, Nox, you said there was a bit of news that you were going to get into.
There's some stuff happened this week.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I'm going to look up the proper, like a proper news.
Again, we should clarify, as of Saturday, this is where the news in video games is at. As of Saturday, April the 1st.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. April Fool's Day.
2013.
funny prank headlines.
This is funny. This is a good
Shigeru Miyamoto. I'm pregnant. Oh, what? He's fucking got us again.
Wow. I've just gone to their website. Mad Cats, you know Mad Cats?
Oh yeah, the accessories company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently they've shut down.
Oh.
They're all done. They're all wrapped up.
That was like the biggest baller move in like, you know, 15, being 15 or whatever, and lashing out and getting the fucking steering wheel accessory for a video game.
Totally. Oh, yeah. And I don't think Mad Cats have really, I mean, obviously because they've been, they're bankrupt now.
it's not a good
really
sign.
Been making R.I.P. that much stuff for like modern consoles. I don't remember really seeing anything since like the original kind of Xbox and PS2.
Well, they used to be, I remember there was the like, even in the SNES and NES era, there was like the controllers that had like the turbo buttons on them,
mm-hmm.
where there was just one button that you would hold down and it was like hitting one of them rapidly.
Yeah.
And then you had your steering wheels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they also they made those dog shit shaped controllers though. Like, especially for the 64, it was like they got a child to just draw a random shape. And they're like, that has to be the outline of the controller now. That's what it has to be. And it hurt your hands and...
specialist controllers.
Yeah.
We changed them. I know they tested them a lot, but we've changed them.
What about the seats you could get that would shake? You've got too much money.
This
isn't making it any better. This is kind of uncomfortable.
You could get like whole like suit, like Kevlar suits that were rumble suits.
Yeah.
I kind of always wanted one of them. They were like
a RoboCop suit?
I think a rumble suit that you dressed in. You definitely wanted to masturbate in one of those.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know the game Rez?
Oh, yeah.
That came with a Rez vibrator that would vibrate to the music, and it was just a little vibrating box.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And?
I've got one. Never touch it. But yeah, they're gone.
But then you're right. After that era, once you get into PlayStation 3, I guess because like first parties got so involved with like the Wiimote and PlayStation Move.
Yeah.
Like there's
even
no
shit
need.
Like the cameras and the Move ones.
The games companies are actually making them themselves, so there's no need for like a third party.
Well, and there's so much technology in the modern controllers that it's probably not a simple task to recreate them.
Yeah.
With the Switch controller, you got all the movement stuff, all the gyroscopes and whatever. You got the touchpad on the PS4 one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Can you even get third party controllers anymore?
You must be able to. Like, I'm sure there's knockoff Chinese ones. On
I think there's more Xbox ones than there are PS.
They don't have
ones?
Any of that shit in them, really. Yeah, they've got like sort of a thing in the triggers that's like a rumble thing, but it's nothing. You don't.
Yeah,
need that.
And I think like the first party companies, they want the money that they get from selling peripherals. Like it's good money.
Yeah,
and
I think it was like there used to be an opening because like there'd kind of be shortcomings in the first party ones. Mm-hmm. And so like I said, oh, this one's got a turbo button on it, or it's got this one rumbles or whatever.
Yep.
Whereas now they all do. Yeah, there's no gap to fill.
Mm. And for like memory cards and shit, I remember like third party companies always used to make like, this is a way bigger memory card.
Yeah.
Memory cards and rumble packs.
Yeah. And they always used to spell rumble pack without the C. It was always rumble P-A-K.
Oh,
I always
thought
that was so fucking badass.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
That is cool.
It is cool.
The K and the Z, the two coolest letters going around.
The Nintendo 64, like the main thing, was called the Nintendo 64 Control Deck. Like you're bringing a plane into land.
Yeah.
I always thought that was cool. I was a douche of a child.
I
remember getting a
Banjo-Kazooie as I bring him into land.
Yeah, you're going to like that game when you get around to playing it. So,
I remember getting Donkey Kong 64 and it was packed in with the expansion pack.
Yeah.
And fucking slotting that bad boy in and just feeling like I'd fucking.
I definitely miss that, like jamming shit into other shit, you know? Like just shoving it.
I'll bet you do.
Drop pants. But like that feeling of like, just. That clunk that would happen when you put something in, like a new game.
It doesn't really happen. Again, that's something that doesn't really happen anymore. But yeah, that feeling of going out and getting something. Because I think the game with the expansion pack was like $100 or something.
It would have been a lot more. Yeah, it would have been like 120 or something. Or like,
but even, I mean,
a lot of money. A lot
to
of
bring
money.
A thing back that like it like fully upscales your you know, coming home and being like, fuck, I'm kicking this into the next level.
Yeah.
There's no, it doesn't really happen.
So your hair starts blowing backwards.
Well, that's what like the PS4 Pro is. It's like $700 or whatever.
That's a whole new, if that was just a little fucking chip
attachment.
That you, a USB.
Yeah.
That fully upscaled its performance.
Oh.
So any other news or is that it?
They're doing a remastered version of StarCraft. Did any of you ever be into StarCraft?
Yes, but not like when I like talk to Hing about it, it's like, well, why would I ever bother even trying to play it again? Like, I'd be terrible at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just friend walking into like a professional chess tournament going, come on, Gary.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Michael Hing, who when he was younger went and competed.
Like competed internationally
at an international
on a professional level.
Yeah. Represented Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember because I played it when it actually came out, like when on a PC.
And
then I remember finding out someone was like, had been to Korea and they're like, they watch it on television over there and just being like, what?
Yeah.
Games on TV?
Well, it's like I read Kotaku pretty regularly. I just find that the easiest way to kind of skim through and see what big stuff has happened. And they're reporting, like every day there's some new story about like, this guy did this in a Smash Brothers tournament.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck? Like,
a lot of people, weirdly,
a huge number, like especially League of Legends and Dota 2 are enormous.
Right.
Yeah. They're like
but
multi-million
the thing is,
dollar
if
industries.
If you're into that, surely you're just going to a website that's news about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of weird to just, on a very general news source, it's weird where underneath it's like, hey, we reviewed this new chip from Japan.
But if you like have a sports website, you still like report sports. On ping pong.
Totally, yeah. And like you watch movies.
No, you don't.
No one questioned that.
No, I reckon on like.
I challenged that.
There is not ping one pong. There would be ping pong on like Fox Sports 17.
Yeah, if it was like a 100 stroke rally or something in some game, they'd be wow.
A 100 stroke rally.
Get out that res vibrator, baby.
Drop pants. it's actually kind of cool. I read like a little thing about it that you can, with the remastered one, play people who still have the original one.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that is cool.
That's really cool.
It's all exactly the same, which makes sense because it's obviously such a big thing. Like they're trying to bring it back to compete with all these modern things that people have moved on to.
Right.
So yeah, presumably if you're into it, that's huge news.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But like, it's just a question of how many people are still into it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, life's full of questions.
I think we said Destiny 2 was announced last week. They've said more stuff about that.
Yep.
It's coming to the PC as well, which the originals weren't on.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Finally.
Destiny 1's something you'll get around to in about 3 years. Yeah.
Oh,
no.
We've got Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That was on the PS3.
It's on PS3.
Did you like it?
No.
That's the thing. Like, I quite like Destiny because I came to it after all the expansions and shit were in it, which apparently made it quite a lot better. I never had the original version of it.
It's very bland.
Yeah, I think they'd fixed a bit of that by the time, like, there was a little more interesting kind of story stuff in the expansions that I kind of got straight away.
Okay.
Right. I think that was the first game I got on PS4. I think that probably, it must have been.
That was one of the first big ones on it, right?
Yeah, and it looked amazing. Like, when I first played that, that was the best looking game I had ever played. Like, it looked incredible.
It was and Alien Isolation for me as well, which is also on the PS3.
Mm.
You should probably give that a go.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It'll scare the shit out of you, Pete. It's really, really good.
It's real good.
Yeah.
I watched a trailer thing for it that was, like, goofy.
For Destiny 2.
For Destiny 2.
Right.
It was like...
That's goofy.
Are you sure you didn't watch a trailer for a goofy movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy and his son are going on a road trip.
And he's like, that is a great movie. I loved that movie.
That is genuinely a funny movie.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, he plays...
I don't know why I thought you would be lying to me about that.
Basically playing... Kind himself? Of Paulie is he himself? Because he looks like him. It's like a goofy version of
Paulie. He's the son's best friend.
Yeah, the earring. He's got an earring. I remember that one specific detail about a goofy movie and nothing more.
Hmm. The earrings.
I'm pretty sure he had an earring in.
Is it time for a fashion report?
About a goofy movie.
Goofy movie, very current.
Get a load of his cool sunglass things. Remember he wore them when he was doing the...
Yeah, man.
The dance
we all
the
remember
end.
That he wore the sunglasses.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
We remember every detail of that.
But yeah, it was like, it sort of was like kind of like a funny trailer, but in that bit of an annoying, like, video game trailer funny kind of way. Mm-hmm, so I hope they don't lean into that too much with it.
So that's Bungie, yeah?
Yeah.
Who also, they're Halo.
They were.
Halo have had some shitty trailers over the years as well, haven't they?
Sorry.
I'm just glad that I got that noise out of there.
Stop doing your voiceover audition.
For Goofy
reel.
Movie 2. Hey, Goofy, it's me, Paulie. Perfect impression.
That was a very good Paulie show.
I don't know what he sounds like. Hey
there, buddy.
That's it. We got. I only know him from The Simpsons. Then I guess.
Right.
Paulie Shaw.
Watch Encino Man.
Encino Man.
Yeah,
and Biodome.
Son-in-Law.
Yeah, that's the worst one. I think.
Son-in-Law
is fucking terrible.
He's in. He's in an episode of Entourage.
Oh, sick.
Fuck you.
Oh, bro.
Bro. Oh, bro. So sick.
That's so good.
Bro, does my dick look clean to you, bro?
Hey, if we were Entourage, which Entourage would you be?
Oh, shit.
You'd be fucking Turtle Man.
Oh.
Fuck you, bro. Hey, let's order some Czar.
Classic E.
I don't like that the Czar guys appeared on three consecutive episodes now.
Yeah, he's
never
leaving.
I didn't like it when he appeared on one consecutive episode.
I went on a road trip with Knox recently for 7 hours. That guy appeared the whole trip.
Oh yeah. Can you tell us more about that? Did you what did you learn about Knox on this 7 hour? Because you know,
Betty,
and then
you thinks
came...
that Czar impression's real funny.
Because we're putting
correctly
together...
thinks that that Czar impression is very good.
This is kind of a work in progress that me and Ben have. We're putting together kind of a dossier on the fascinating life of
like
Adam Knox.
It seems like they want to take me down at some point.
Sleeps in a watermelon bed.
Yeah.
Drinks coffee from Target.
Yep. Buys a new pair of shoes every 2 months.
There was a shop that sold fucking. There was a cafe in Target. I don't only drink coffee
How
from
come
Target.
It only appeared when you were there?
It didn't only. It was one specific shop in Frankston. They tried it for a bit, and then it went away.
No, you wait. You made. You drank a. You bought a coffee from a Target.
Thank you. It is ridiculous.
That's impossible.
They had a cafe in this Target.
No, we've read the dossier.
Yes, they did. They had a cafe there, and it's me like in The Shining, where I'm imagining a guy behind the bar.
That's what I think is happening.
No, it was a coffee shop.
Can you call Target now and ask them if they've ever had a cafe in any Target?
Yeah, right.
You drank Lego. That's what you drank.
I'm not going to fucking bother somebody while they're at work.
Yeah, because there's no cafe in a Target.
There isn't anymore. They got rid of it because a lot of people had your backwards attitudes and wouldn't buy the coffee from this Target.
Yeah, that's our fault for not driving all the way to Frankston to get a coffee from a Target.
Why would they have a cafe in a Target?
Tommy just got so excited about that he kicked a table.
I've
got
to move away from the table. I'm bad news, baby.
You got, like, if you bought stuff there, you got, like, little coupons on the back of your receipt for the cafe at the Target as well.
Sounds like hell of a cafe. It's the only way to get people to drink their coffee.
They were trying it out. It didn't pan out.
You had to buy something to get it. So you got to dock it, leave the store, and then go back into the cafe?
No, it was like the cafe was...
I think you went to a Gloria Jeans after a Target.
Yeah, exactly.
And got disoriented.
Yeah, that big shopping centre that it's in, that's not all the Target.
This Target's huge.
Just because you can see the sign from where you're getting the coffee doesn't mean that it's in the Target.
It just turns out
you just call Westfield Target.
Yeah. It was a Target cafe.
This is a great piece of bullying we're doing. Someone does something once and then it's like, that's what you do. That's your thing that you do all the time.
You should never have told us about it, you fucking idiot.
But did you uncover anything like that on this? Because you came back as well. So that's 14 hours of Knox time.
Yeah, and we stayed in the same room.
Oh, wow. Oh, what was that like?
Knox snores. Which he freely admitted beforehand. Which
Is fine. I bought earplugs for people as well.
He did. It was nice. Very generous.
That's very generous.
It was
that's
very
good.
Generous.
Nothing worse than a snorer who doesn't seem fazed by the fact that they snore and that's annoying to
there
other
people. There are snorers that like won't admit it as well.
Yes.
Like I know that I do, and I know that it annoys people, and I'm very much like, if you want me to go and sleep in another room,
great.
I will.
And he had to sleep in the hall one night. It was really nice.
I woke up in the pool.
I've had snorers who I've shared rooms with who've gone, oh well, you can go, like if it bothers you, you know, you're free to just go and sleep in the other room if you want.
No,
very big of you. What a big offer to make.
I want to get one of them masks with Barack Obama's face on it and just like walk around and do pranks.
Oh yeah.
No, I want to get one of them those things that you sleep in. You know, like the big Bane fucking things.
For sleep apnea.
Yeah. I think it's that. I think it's related to. Yeah, it's kind of like a weight thing. You know.
Mm. I think I've got sleep apnea.
Few too many sugars in my Target coffees.
Few too much puddings.
But
one of them Target puddings. Really
apparently I talk in my sleep.
Yeah,
as
you
well.
Also talk in your sleep, which I did not know beforehand.
Yeah,
heard
that before.
The other a friend of the show, Luca Muller, also apparently talks in his sleep.
Well, that's because Luca Muller, who was also
we were doing a show with the three of us.
Yeah,
and I'd shared a hotel with Luca Muller before, and I think both me and Luca also snore.
Right,
but Knox snores more than both of us, so I couldn't hear Luca, and Luca couldn't hear I. Because you snort quite loud. But anyway, should have brought it up on the time.
Oh, I'm the winner, baby.
So what the fuck were we talking about?
We were roasting Knox for getting it going to a cafe.
No, but I can't remember what I was going to say before that. But my God, it was a good piece of content.
Destiny 2 we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was specifically to do with that. Either way, the PS4 version still has like some exclusive shit and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Cool. So should we get into, we got an ad for this week.
Yeah. As we mentioned up the top, we're sponsored again by our friends at Loot Crate, our friendly friends at the Loot Crate company. So if you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares and collectibles, bloody Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. So whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or if you are that geek, a line in this copy we have commented on every single time we've read this ad. It's such a curious line. Pete, you've got a geek in your life, don't you?
Is that me? No, my girlfriend.
Yeah. Your girlfriend who listens to a podcast about video games.
Hey, mate, do you have a geek in your life? Do you want one?
Do you have a little geek in you? Do you have a little geek in you? Do you want one?
Pete, if I told you I had a geek in my life, would you hold it against me?
If I told you I had a geek in my life, would you drop pants?
They should make the whole plane out of the geek in your life. All right, so continuing with this ad. Whether you're the geek or if you've got one in your life, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and there's new exclusive items that you can only get with Loot Crate. So treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one.
I like the last gaming one they sent out.
That was fucking
really good.
Sick.
With the Zelda shirt.
Yeah, that's a good shirt.
It's a really good quality shirt. Like, yeah. I'm wearing it.
It's exactly what I want out of a pop culture reference t-shirt.
Yeah.
Just an image of the thing. Yeah. No text. No. No attempt at a joke on it.
They're good at that shit as well. Like that Power Rangers one was good.
Yeah,
like
that was really cool.
Too. That little dog that came as well, the little Metal Gear dog.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a Pitfall canteen.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I haven't had the stones to drink out of it yet.
Yeah, not I. I want it in mint condition forever.
Whenever I think about, like, whenever I buy anything to drink out of, I always think about the factory it went through.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Is that
add
too,
this
is
to
that
the dossier.
Christ
add
almighty.
It to the dossier.
That's great. Can we get some fan art of a photo of Knox and he's looking at a cup and there's a big thought balloon above his head that's just a
factory. A flow chart.
I love the way that, like, you've done this on several episodes now where you're like, commissioning free art.
It's
like,
great. People are into it. And
like you're fucking
it.
Stalin. Like, paint me again.
People do it. People enjoy
paint
it.
Paint our weird friend again.
So, wait. So you don't drink anything from... So you have to wait a while before you get used to the idea of a cup thing in your life?
Yeah, I only drink when it rains.
Or from a Target cafe.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I just wash it out.
Which
once.
Is a myth, by the way.
It's not a myth. There was
myth.
One there.
All right. So this month's theme for Loot Crate is investigate.
Yeah.
Good theme, right? Oh, yeah. I like this theme.
That's good.
For April, join us, me and Loot Crate, that's what us is referring to, as we salute some of our favorite mystery solvers with items from Stranger Things, Batman. I love how often Batman is in these themes because Batman's great.
I imagine there's just a whole warehouse full of Batman stuff because he seems
Knox,
to get
Knox has to like
theme.
Filter through each item in the warehouse, make sure all the processes are all above board.
You wash it once, that's all you need to do.
Oh, a fancy boy, are we?
A piece of fruit as well.
The X-Files and Jessica Jones. Were you a fan of Jessica Jones?
I like Jessica. Yeah. That's the only one of the Netflix ones that I've really liked.
Yeah, I liked it as well. I liked Luke Cage. Anyway.
That was boring as shit.
One lucky subscriber.
Whoa.
Wow. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate, including signed copies of Jessica Jones' Alias, which must be, I think, a comic version of it.
Oh, like not as in Alias, the Jennifer Garner thing.
No, as in Jessica Jones Alias, volumes 1-4. So it must be a comic.
Right, okay,
yeah.
Jessica Jones, comma, Alias,
J.J. Abrams.
Felicity.
Yeah. So you've got until the 19th. It's I think every month it's until the 19th, 9 p.m. Pacific Time American, to subscribe and get this theme. Otherwise, you miss out on this theme. Head to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals. Enter the code filthycasuals to save $3 off any new subscription today. Thank you again, Loot Crate, for supporting the show.
That's cool. That all sounds like good stuff.
Yeah,
Stranger
absolutely.
Things and X-Files.
Yeah,
that'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sick one. And more Batman.
Instead of getting the box, though, they just send you like a clue about where to get it.
That is not what happens, let's be clear.
No, it is. At the top it says Australia Post. Yeah.
The clue is Target.
But to Knox, the world's a Target. In his comedy as well.
There
oh,
was
boy.
A fucking motherfucking goddamn cafe in there.
No,
I
you
wish
would,
I'd have taken
you
a
would
photo.
You would just take an aim at the world and...
Yeah, I'll
coffee.
Say anything.
Yeah.
You've got a bloody Target on your head right now, mate, in this conversation. Okay, so let's get into what we've played this week.
Yeah.
I was playing a bit of the game Snake Pass on the Switch, which has come out. I think it's come out for everything. But the guys that made it were nice enough to send just me a code, even though I requested three. I said, hey, we've got an Xbox and two Switches. Could we all get a code? And they were like, cool story. Here's one Switch code. Anyway, fair enough.
Here's my review of Snake Pass. Boo!
Yeah, a bit stingy.
Yeah, here's my review of the people handling the PR for Snake Pass.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I still don't really know if I like it or not.
What sort of thing is it?
Okay, so it's... if anyone hasn't seen anything about it, it's basically a... How do they describe it? They describe it as a physics-based puzzle platformer.
Right.
So you control a snake.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that is a mouthful.
You control a snake and the main hook of it is that controlling the snake is kind of difficult. Like, basically,
wow, sounds like a great book. Doing the main thing's kind of hard.
It's a physics-based test of patience.
Yeah, really it is. It kind of is. Like, the whole... That's kind of it. The puzzle element of it is getting your head around the controls. So you hold down the right trigger to make the snake move forward.
But, you would, like, accelerate. Like,
yeah, but to get momentum, you have to, like, kind of slither. So you have to use the stick to kind of move to left and right.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And then if you push, if you hold down A, he'll put his head up. Right. So basically there's kind of like these ladders and stuff and bits of bamboo that you kind of have to, using a combination of all those things, kind of wrap yourself around using the stick and then be kind of putting your head up using A, and then, you know, you'll come to a, you know, you'll come to a flat bit so you can then sort of stop and level off and stop raising and kind of steady yourself on that.
Right.
So it's really, it's kind of interesting to play a platformer where you're, you know, you get so used to just like hold this to run and this to move around and this is jump.
They've kind of all had the same controls as Mario 64.
Basically. Yeah, so it's really interesting where the main challenge is just like everything you know about controlling your main character is just out the window.
Right.
And it is interesting to, play something that it, that kind of resets you in that way. Like there's no, there's kind of no prior knowledge. There's no assumed way of playing. Mm. So, yeah, I still don't know if that's fun or not. Because the day I got it, I was like, you start to get the grips of it and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I kind of kept coming back to it a lot. Like I would put it down and then, you know, I'd go, no, I want to see what happens in the next level. Like I want to see what next little challenge. But then, you know, there'll be a bit where you just spend a little too long kind of getting up a ladder and it's like, should it be this hard or not? I don't really know.
Are you finding that the what you're doing is trying to solve exactly how to get up this thing and then once you think it, you go do it?
I'm trying to just do it right.
So it's the skill of the controls or whatever. And are you finding that frustrating? Yeah.
Well,
those controls sound like they're a little fiddly. Just from the description.
The other thing is, so it's basically, it's interesting that this has come out and then Ukulele is coming out soon.
Mm.
Yeah. Feels like we're about to go through a big revival of the Nintendo 64 era, kind of, you know, 3D cartoony platformer.
Yeah.
So
the reconnaissance.
Oh my god.
The banjo.
I was trying to think of one for the longest time and just ended up saying McConaughey.
The banjo kazonissance?
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's
never mind.
Ma Baker.
Marionissance or something. I was trying, but it was no good.
Even when it's a little frustrating and I keep kind of falling down the same bit. It's very charming. It's like
it looks
the
very
design
good.
Is very cool.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Like I think it's a testament to how strong all that stuff is. Even though this is a little gripe that there's no story or anything that sets it up, which is kind of a bit of a bummer. Like, you know, even all those games like Banjo-Kazooie or whatever. It's not like they have the most in-depth storylines, but there's just like a little
thing. Nah, man. Bottles is backstory.
What about in the second one where he's dead and you're talking to him as a ghost? That's weird. But at least there's a little something at the very start. Like,
and you get those fun little bits in all the levels where like this polar bear is trying to avoid his kids or whatever it was, you know? Like,
Yeah.
I think you just projected that from your own life.
Maybe he was looking for presents for his kids. And he'd always go, yup.
Yeah. Right. There's nothing like, there's no setup. It's just all of a sudden, you're this snake that just appears in this world and there's a little hummingbird who like kind of guides you through.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like, hey, let's go over here. And I don't know, like, who cares? It's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's just, I just always find, like, it's just a bit like, why? It would be nice if there was just even the most dumb setup of like, hey, the evil fucking, you know, whatever has
snake
like imprisoned catcher. These
yeah,
people.
St.
Like,
Patrick. St. Patrick.
Oh,
you got to fight
St.
Patrick.
St. Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're setting up this whole kind of cartoony world and you're expecting people to kind of buy into this character and all the rest of it is so charming that I just wish there was even just some tiny, even just the smallest little setup would be cool. And the snake, he is, as a character, he's really well done. Like, he kind of, all his facial animations and his voice stuff is really cool. Like, you'll wrap around the edge of a bit of thing, and if you kind of get it right, he goes, ah! Like, he, you know, he's kind of constantly And if you start like to reacting. Slip, he's like, oh, like he reacts to okay, what's going on. Cool. He seems kind of genuinely surprised when he manages to get himself around a bend or whatever, which is very charming and cool. But
what are you actually gunning for? Like, are you trying to get to the end of a level or are you collecting stuff?
You're collecting, there's like a gate that needs three different colored gems to open.
Okay,
so you're trying to find them. And then there's also each level is like heaps of other little collectibles that are, but, and that's the other thing, like design wise, it just feels like it's like 80, like maybe just like 90% there. It's like, oh, collect these, like the main thing, the in place of coins, I think there's like 20 of them in each level. They're just these like little blue orb things. And it's like, could you have come up with something that's just a little, you know what I mean? It's just everything is just like a colored gem. And it's like, Just a little more finesse in, like, you know.
See,
it would have been cool if they were apples. If the main collectibles, that's a cool throwback to, like, because I gather this is sort of taking the Nokia.
The Garden of Eden. I understand.
Yeah. I had to just look it up because I'm like, I couldn't picture the game because I'm 4 years behind everybody.
Yeah.
But like, I was actually just picturing the game Snake on the Nokia.
Yeah.
I was like, really, okay.
It's clearly that's.
And you got to go up a ladder.
It's clearly that's what I think they're going for with this is a level. But yeah. But I mean, it is kind of. It's kind of cool on the Switch. I think it's a thing that lends itself to, you know, on the go gaming. Like, I don't know so much in. Docked like on the TV.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think I need to spend a little bit more time. I'm kind of on the fence. I like the look of it, and I think it's cool what it's doing, but I just wonder what's around the corner in it that's gonna make me kind of it gonna keep like, to be honest, I think I'm four levels in, and I just got up to a water level, and I. Soon as I see water, fucking here we go.
So fuck you, wave race.
So that's kind of put me off a little bit. But I do think it's worth, especially on the Switch, you know, if you play it in handheld mode a lot and you're looking for something, you know, something new to kind of tide you over, it's pretty reasonably priced and it's a good little on-the-go game. Yeah, I think there's enough in it. But yeah, I've read reviews that hate it, and I think it just really comes down to how... if you can kind of get your head around the controls, like I think that I can definitely see how a certain type of person just not being able to.
This is the same thing that happened to me with Grow Home, which was a similar sort of game where it was all about the controls being a little bit weird and basically a platformer, and I fucking hated the controls in that.
You know what? It's really a shame that it doesn't have a demo because I reckon you know within, you know, 10 minutes if it's going to be something that you're into. Like it's kind of a big ask to, you know, to ask people to just kind of dive in when they may hate the fundamental thing underpinning it. But yeah, it looks really cool, and you know, I think it's a cool, you know, maybe it's a case where this is successful enough and down the line they do a second one where they, you know, they expand on some of the things that could do with expanding on. But I definitely do think, if you're looking for something that's kind of quick and very, you know, charming and just a quick bit of disposable fun, I'd recommend it.
Well, speaking of things that are quick and charming, or not quick and charming, I should say.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Speaking of something that's the opposite of what you were talking about.
Is this still a Loot Crate ad? Or
we've never got out of the ad. We're stuck. We're like Nox. We're in a Target all the time. We're in the ad all the time. Much unlike... Snake Pass.
Just move on. Just talk about a new thing.
I know. Need to get the segue perfect.
Yeah, this is a comedy festival show. You can just change topics. It doesn't matter.
No. It has to be a perfect written thing.
It has to be an arc.
Unlike the game Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes! Oh. So, Pete, you played any of the Mass Effect games?
I've played Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
The best one. Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Not into it.
Yeah, right.
It's not my sort of thing.
Yeah.
How far in did you get, do you reckon?
Oh, not very far in. Maybe 2 hours into it.
Right. No, I wonder if not having played one, there wasn't enough of a hook to...
Oh, no, because I never played one when I played
you got
two.
Into
and
two?
I loved two, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. One suffers in comparison going back. Because two, it ironed out all the gameplay problems.
Yeah.
Mass
Effect Andromeda is... Basically, it's a Mass Effect game. So it's like if you like Mass Effect, you play this game, you get most of the things that you like in a Mass Effect game out of it. You get like fun like shootouts and interesting character designs, beautiful, like, you know, visual design and landscapes and stuff, and like great spaceships and planets and shit.
And just quickly before you get into the negative parts, which it sounds like you're about to.
Just about to.
With the combat then.
Yes.
With the shooting, that's, I've heard from, I still haven't had a chance to play it yet, even though it's sitting unopened at home.
Mm.
The combat is good?
Yes.
Describe.
It is simpler
than
it's...
Shoot, move.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Drop pants, shoot gun.
Pants, shoot gun. Yeah,
that actually does apply to Mass Effect as well.
Yeah, I guess it does. You do a lot of fucking in them games.
Yeah. So the
what? Yeah. Oh, I got a replay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of relationship stuff in them.
Nah, fuck relationships, man. It's about the booty.
Jeez.
That's who I am.
I think I'm just starting to, like, conversation trees. I think that's what I'm like. I'm like, I'm out.
See, I love conversation trees.
Yeah.
They provide the segues for you. It's great.
Can I have more information? I want no information.
By the way, when we were on the car, the trip to Adelaide, Pete has the best impression of like Skyrim NPCs that I've ever heard.
Oh.
Fetch this goblet for me.
It's always just like,
please return to the village. Oh, it is a dark day today in the city. Hold there. You're not from here.
I hear the elves are cold this time of year. It's
The forge is cooking.
It was better in the car.
It was better in the car. Stay in the car.
Sorry, I shouldn't have brought a car riff up outside of the car.
Was this in the car or was this yelled out in your sleep?
Who goes there?
Wouldn't that be frustrating if people told you could do like a spot on impression of someone in your sleep, but then when you tried to do it when you were awake, you just couldn't do it. You just couldn't get it out. Like,
oh,
that would be weird, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Tommy. That would be very strange.
Imagine if you were like target. 12 feet tall. Anyway, Ben.
Imagine if your dick was a shoe.
So... yeah, the combat's way simpler.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Go on, traveler.
I used to be an adventurer like you. I'm still coming to grips with like the inventory system and a lot of like the what kind of weapon changing and stuff, because they, again, like, I don't know why franchises do this. They just change the interface just from one to the next. Like, 2 and 3 had, like, it was very easy to use. Also, you'd learnt it by that point. And they've just gone like, we'll just completely change the interface. We'll change the inventory system.
I mean, that makes sense.
It's probably got something to do with a new studio doing it.
Yeah, I guess.
But surely that's one of the good things about being a long-time fan of a series is that, you know, you bring in a bit of assumed knowledge to it.
I mean, totally. They do that shit with Zelda and whatever as well, and people don't bring it up. Like, is it more, is it that they've changed it or that it's bad?
It's just different, and so I'm still getting used to it.
Right, okay.
But in terms of, like, the shooting and the moving around and the taking cover is automatic. There's no cover button. You just move near something while you're aiming and you take cover.
I think that's cool. That's a big gripe of mine, is that sometimes the cover button in games isn't as intuitive as it should be.
Yeah,
it's annoying when the cover button and the fucking the roll.
Oh yeah,
button are like the same thing. So you try to take cover, and you just like fucking start somersaulting into the people who are shooting at you.
So all of that stuff is really good, and it has to be, because there are a lot of negatives. And so like we've spoken about this very like briefly, I think previously, Nox, that the best things about Mass Effect have been the writing and the characterization and the ability to propel you through, you know, this story with great gameplay, but having an actual. An investment in the story and a reason to do it.
Yeah.
And so and the previous ones have combined all that into like great games.
And not perfectly. There have been slip-ups in the other ones where like there are shit characters like Vega and whatever in the do you remember Vega?
Yeah, vaguely.
Shit meat axe.
He was like big mohawk dude.
Caden and Ashley as well in the first one. Like all of the human characters almost are kind of dull in them.
So the problem with Mass Effect Andromeda is that, well, I think the overall writing is good. So like the world building, the story is good, but the actual dialogue is fucking dog shit. It's so bad.
Right.
It's the worst in a AAA game since like Call of Duty.
So because what the impression I've got from the tone of it, from things that I've seen outside of actually playing the game, is that it's very. Sort of like, I don't know how to describe this, but like early uni student Tumblr blog type writing.
Exactly. I was trying to articulate it, and that is exactly what it is.
Tumblr bog.
It's Tumblr bog. I was saying blog, and it should bog. I should have said bog. Yeah. It is. It's kind of like snarky, like game design kids who have only got their comedy through Twitter, and they're like, it's stuff you can't say. You can only write it.
Right.
Yeah. It's George Lucas syndrome. It's like it's just shitty written dialogue. So that's bad. And the characters are real bland and suck.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the combat's fun and the worlds look great. Oh, sorry, I forgot the third thing is the character animations are horrible.
Yeah, that's been the big thing that that people have been shitting on this game for. Which I think, like, they do look bad, but that people seem to have this impression of it that, like, yeah, that fucks it. That makes the characters really unbelievable. But my impression, again, not from having played it, but from having watched enough of it to form a very solid opinion.
You feel like it's like you think you're going to be taken to court over this if you don't constantly stress that you haven't actually played it.
We did spend 5 minutes roasting him for going to a cafe in Target.
I need to be very clear that I've actually done something.
No, we didn't roast him for going to a cafe. We roasted him for going to a Target.
Yes.
And for lying about a cafe.
You are the most elitist Melbourne cafe latte motherfucker.
You're the one who's a latte sipper. We're just talking about it.
A latte sipper sounded like it was incredibly rude and like for some reason I was like, oh, Ben, edit that out of the podcast.
That's great.
You're the latte sipper.
Get rid of this latte sipper if you know what I mean.
It's not the 80s anymore. You can't say that. Hey's off the air.
Bring it back.
But the dialogue seems to be the thing that's making these people seem broken and unbelievable.
People.
I'm talking about Krogans. Get them out of here.
No, you're right. If the writing was like great, you'd be like, oh, the animation's not quite there.
Well, that's the thing.
It makes it stand out way more.
Plenty of games have bad animation.
When the writing is okay, then of course, like I forget that it's all a video game. Like there's a big suspension of disbelief in the first place. So
Ben's figured it out finally.
And that ends the whole podcast. It's all a video game.
What a waste of time.
Yeah. And so like, I think like my general point is like, it is a Mass Effect game. It still is a Mass Effect game. And if you've liked them all, you'll like this one. And I keep wanting to play it. Like, I don't have a lot of free time at the moment, but I do keep sitting down and playing more of this game.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's a Mass Effect game that has some failings. So I'm kind of okay to put up with that. And like that, this broad story of like colonizing, you know, a new galaxy 600 years away is cool and interesting. And like the geographic design and stuff is fucking cool. Yeah. Like all of that stuff is cool. The only visual stuff that's bad is the animations of the faces, really. But all the other stuff's great. And yeah, I think it's a good game with some flaws.
Right.
The dialogue stuff. And it seems like people consider that it gets better as it goes, stuff, apparently. But
I'd be interested, and who knows if I'll actually get around to doing this, play it with none of the previous. Like, I think there's a bit of your love for the series shining through here.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, playing it just on its own merit with nothing to back it up, how I'd find it.
I want to see all that Mass Effect shit again, you know? Like, I want to go and like, oh, that guy looks like Garrus did. And
totally.
And I will get something out of that. But, man, the dialogue being as shitty as it seems really is, and I know I'm going to play the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's my fucking problem that I have.
Yes.
Where if I played through all of fucking, what was it called? Mankind Divided, Deus Ex.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was the same sort of thing where there were big, big problems with that game, and maybe worse than this one even. So I'm interested to give it a go and talk about it when people are already sick of hearing about it.
What I often do with a game, even if I love it, is like I'll play it with the sound on as a normal person would.
Okay.
And then once I get into the rhythm of the gameplay and stuff and just kind of want to keep playing through it and I'm no longer like, you know, in awe of like, you know, the whatever, like the story twists and the new world. Okay. I'll just turn the sound down, put the subtitles on. And I often like listen to a podcast while I play. And so I've already done that with Mass Effect because the dialogue is so shitty that it's actually better to just read it.
And is the acting bad as well? Or
No, or the voice acting's all right.
Is it impossible to get around the dialogue? So
yeah,
how do you
yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I put in our chat last night, there was a sentence like, You can't be a pathfinder if you haven't path found anything yet.
It's yeah. so bad.
That's terrible.
That's great.
But, and it is like when the person...
But you can't. You can't be a pathfinder if you haven't path found anything
Pete makes
yet.
Makes a good point. Yeah, yeah. That's true. This game sounds accurate.
You can
yeah.
picture the face of the person who wrote that, finishing that sentence and then kind of doing like a slight little smug smile like, huh, I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. yeah.
Does it feel like that or is it someone like... on a deadline just like fuck I don't know yeah. you can't be a pathfinder here, you can't path found anymore whatever
the game's due out tomorrow
no I
don't know
I honestly do think it's more of what Nox said. It's someone with like Twitter open here and Tumblr open here and a Word document open here and they're scrolling through and they're like, well, is this one going to go on Twitter or is this going to go in the dialogue for Mass Effect? Like, yeah. they're all that kind
so,
of shitty.
So, by what you're saying, there's heaps of clapbacks in this game?
Yes.
Yes. Don't colonize a planet unless you know about gender politics.
Yes, Space Queen.
You just justified that 1:30 a.m. decision, Pete.
Oh, cool. What's this I've unlocked? Oh, some gifts from RuPaul's Drag Race. Cool weapon,
of,
I guess.
A lot of anti-Trump sentiment in this game.
Okay, game sounds like a piece of shit.
No, it's all right.
In conclusion, play the snake one.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, hey, we better wrap this up here. What do you say, fellas?
Yeah, yeah, I reckon.
Thanks for listening. Hopefully nothing big has happened in the last 4 days since yeah. we recorded this. So yeah. Apologies if you're listening and there's something big that you were hoping that we'd sink our little chompers into. Mm. It's just going to have to wait until this time next week.
Yeah.
Pete Jones, thanks for joining us.
That is quite all right. Thanks for having me.
You are in a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival
yes,
for the rest of this
in
month.
Yes, in a show for the rest of the month called Three Course Comedy,
mm-hmm.
Which is just a split show with three different comedians.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And it's a rotating roster.
Rotating roster. So it's me every night and then different comedians joining me.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Chimp Cop has yep. begun at the Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
You can see that 9:45 p.m. at Trades Hall
yeah.
Every night except Wednesday.
That's correct, right. Tommy. Yep. Very good.
And Noxy.
My show started at the Imperial Hotel at 7:15. The end.
It's a good show from all reports. It's a great comedy show.
I yeah. did say that yesterday.
Yeah.
My show Dinner for Two will be on by the time people hear
oh,
this.
Yeah.
It's at 9:30 at the European Beer Cafe. And for all these shows that we've talked about, comedyfestival.com.au, we've also got our live show happening at 4 p.m. on April the 22nd at the European Beer Cafe. Tickets from tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Bandcamp.
Yeah, filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com for our Legend of Zelda and GTA franchise reviews.
We'll probably be chucking another one of them up soon as well.
Yeah, yeah, we should get that going along.
Yeah.
Do some hustling. Yeah.
Cool. Guys, thanks so much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Drop pants.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.